Welcome to Double X Science. Science, it's the new black. Today is Friday, February 15th, 2013. I am Adrian Rorick, chemistry editor at Double X Science, and with me today is Matthew Francis, physics editor. So Matthew, have you been reading any good books lately?
Well, I just finished a great book that's coming out in April called My Beloved Brontosaurus by Brian Switak. It's a natural history of dinosaurs from modern perspective. I haven't read a book that's this thorough about dinosaurs in a very long time. So I very much enjoyed it. It was very funny, very informative. I learned a lot from it.
I am reading the same book. We were at the same science communication conference where we were able to get some advanced reader copies. And I have read through chapter 3 so far, and I am enjoying it quite a bit. I'm one of those people who read about dinosaurs as a kid and enjoyed paleontology. I have two teenage kids now, and of course I read dinosaur books to them because that is the science presented to kids most, I believe. And it's been interesting to read about the history of that field and how things are slow to change. And even though there are changes that were made when I was a child, I was still reading the incorrect stuff to my kids. So this has been a really interesting to read, and I look forward to the remaining chapters.
I found it a fast read, so I think you'll enjoy what's left of it.
Yeah. Now on to our week of posts. On Monday, we had a post called Pregnancy 101, It Hurts Where? By DXS contributor Brittany Del Moya Pino. Basically, this post talked about pregnancy pain, pain of giving birth, and the pain postpartum, and what pain is realistic pain, what pain you can expect, and when you need to actually go see your provider about pain related to pregnancy, giving birth, and postpartum.
Tuesday, in honor of Charles Darwin's birthday, our editor-in-chief, Emily Willingham, gave us a post called, What Do You Know About Charles Darwin? As someone who's a pretty famous scientist, he was kind of a private person, and so a lot of things may not be so familiar to all of us, despite him being so famous. So that was a fun read for those of us who wanted to learn a little bit more about Charles Darwin.
Wednesday, physics editor Matthew Francis authored How Large is a Proton? And Matthew, I was just wondering, why did you write this post? What sparked your interest in discussing how large a proton is?
Well, there's a couple things. First of all, this was based on a research article that came out a few weeks ago. I was looking over the research article, I realized I didn't actually know the answer of how do you measure the size of a proton. I had a basic idea, but reading this article, I found out that, well, first of all, that the answer to the question, how big is a proton, depends on how you do the measuring. A proton, of course, is one of the fundamental constituents of matter. It's one of three particles that makes up every atom in the universe, and so it seems like it would be very strange that we don't know the answer to that question very straightforwardly, but it's actually true. It's very hard to measure something that tiny because all of the ways we usually use to measure don't work. We can't shine light on it. We can't use a little bitty meter stick on it. You know, a ruler isn't going to cut it for this. So we have to use other methods. And so the way that they did it in this case was kind of bizarre and clever. They created a kind of atom that doesn't exist in nature using a particle called a muon instead of an electron. And so I thought that was a really interesting one because, of course, what's one of the questions you always ask when you learn about something new is, well, how big is it? How small is it? How much does it weigh? All of that kind of stuff. Those are important questions in science.
Well, exactly.
And what's even more fun, this wasn't in my article, but the shape of a proton turns out to be a little funky too. It turns out to be kind of peanut shaped. You wouldn't necessarily think that would be so, but
well,
it is. So it's,
okay.
there's a lot of things that seem like they'd be obvious questions, but turn out to be not so obvious answers.
That's just really interesting for me as a scientist, especially since I have this interest in protons in the science I do in my actual research. But why should somebody who's not a scientist care?
It's just that big question, how big are things? Protons are, again, one of those fundamental pieces of everything. Well, I shouldn't say everything, but most things. Every atom has protons in it. That's one of the things that every atom has, no matter what kind of atom it is. And so it tells us something about the composition of the stuff of everyday life. And I think that's a very interesting thing when we realize how simple questions can sometimes lead us to really deep insights about the universe we inhabit. That's something that I've tried to highlight in my everyday science posts at XX. You start with what seems like a very simple question, it ends up leading into, well, the far reaches of modern science, cutting edge research. And that's the thing I love about science, is how we shouldn't ever stop asking these questions, even if they seem like they're simple questions, even if they might seem like they're dumb questions. It turns out that, well, maybe there aren't dumb questions. Maybe the answers, if we take them far enough, tell us a lot more than we would expect.
Ask a simple question and get a deep answer.
At least that's my idea.
Okay. Your picture?
Yes, that's my cat Pascal.
So it features a picture of your cat Pascal. Well, that's really fun that you're able to incorporate a portion of your own life into a post at XX Science like that.
Well, it's hard to put a picture of a proton, so I had to come up with something.
Well, especially since we don't know exactly how large it is.
Yes. On Thursday, our chemistry editor, Adrian, included an installment of our series, Notable Women in Science, Historical Biochemists. That's a field that maybe some of our readers know about and some know less about, but certainly I would say these are figures that were not familiar to me. So what would you say is the thing that we should be getting excited about and taking away from that, Adrian?
I like the series because the series highlights a lot of notable women in science in the past and in current day who many people may know, for instance, Marie Curie or some of the other well-known scientists of the day. But when I went to write this biochemist one, I had three women who were of interest to me, but finding information about these three women and even photos of them anywhere that I could use was very difficult. And so I actually had to add a fourth woman in order to even be able to include a picture. These women have often been overlooked in their work, and that was a theme in the post. As well as being overlooked, sometimes people confuse them. So I was working on the portion on Gertrude E. Perlman, and anything I tried to find on her internet-wise was confusing her with Gertrude Elion, who is a Nobel Prize winner. So Gertrude Elion's doing her own medical work and getting noticed for it. Gertrude Perlman had really exciting work 50, 60 years ago. I just want people to be able to take away knowing a few more women and looking around and seeing that the women who are working in science today.
Very important points, of course, and I certainly learned about people I'd never heard of before, which I very much appreciate.
On Friday, the next post in our I Am Mental Illness series came up. It is called Depression and Alcoholism. It's All in the Family, and it's by science communicator Gene Geek. Our I Am Mental Illness series is a series where real people write their firsthand experiences with mental illness. We highly recommend that you go to XXScience.org and click on the I Am Mental Illness link at the top to look at all the posts in the series. And you can find all the posts we discussed here at our website, XXScience.org, by clicking the links to the post title on the main page. In addition, our sister site, XXScience Jr., had two posts up this week by high school students participating in a program in Vancouver, Canada, designed to encourage and hone their science and science communication interests and skills. On Tuesday, our blogger gave us tips for a no illness vacation, and Thursday presented a little science about procrastination. Matthew, are you going on any vacations, or did you enjoy procrastinating a little bit?
Well, procrastination, I think, is something that all of us do at some point, isn't it?
It is.
We may pretend we don't procrastinate, but I think most of us do, so it was fun to see. There is some science on it, and of course, who doesn't want to procrastinate by reading about procrastination?
You might be surprised, or maybe not, at how many people, when I was promoting this in my social media and the XXScience social media, that said, I thought I'd just read that later. The writer did actually incorporate a YouTube video that was not his own. It is from another person's site. But it's a really fun, fun post, and I like the video. If you link back to the original site, because we do get these from these students who are participating in Science World's Future Science Leaders Program, there's a discussion in the comments. There's another link to another Science of Procrastination. So you could spend all afternoon procrastinating by reading about the science of procrastination.
Seems worthwhile to me.
Me too. And you can find these posts at xxsciencejr.blogspot.com. Now on to our news. Matthew, what science news have you been reading this week?
Well, on the subject of protons, there was an interesting story. Scientists have finally determined the origin of mysterious particles known as cosmic rays. Cosmic rays are high-energy protons from deep space that hit the Earth's upper atmosphere and create a cascade of other particles that can be detected at the surface. And these have been found for decades. But the problem is, people didn't really know where the protons were coming from. These protons have much, much, much higher energy than anything we can produce, even at places like the Large Hadron Collider, which has been famous recently for finding the Higgs boson. And so something in the universe is doing better than we can do at accelerating these protons. These are moving at like 99.99999999999% of the speed of light. And so where did these particles come from? And the mystery has actually been solved. It's one of those cases where we can say, hey, we actually did it. And astronomers discovered the telltale sign of these protons' origin by looking at supernova remnants. Supernovas are some of the most energetic events in the universe. That's when a massive star, much more massive than our sun, explodes at the end of its life. And, well, that has all the energy. But the question is, of course, is how do we prove it? And the proof comes from actually looking at collisions inside the cloud that surrounded the explosion. The protons run into each other, and when they do, they produce another kind of particle known as a pion. Well, we produce a lot of those pions at our particle colliders as well, so we know how those decay. So these pions produce gamma rays. So we've got protons making pions, making gamma rays, but that type of gamma ray will only come from this particular cascade. And so by looking for this type of gamma ray, astronomers determined that supernovas are actually the source of these high-energy cosmic rays. It's one of those things where you look at the footprints, and then you realize the size of the shoe, and then you can track down who has that particular shoe. It's a great bit of detective story.
Oh, wow, that is. It's a great bit of investigative gumshoe work in astronomical science. That wraps up our week at XX Science. In the upcoming weeks, you can find some posts on birth timing, a couple posts up at our XX Science Junior website.
You can also expect the second part of Danielle Lee's African adventure story. We have already published part one of the series, so be sure to check out that in preparation for part two.
Thank you for listening. Our music is provided by Editor-in-Chief Emily Willingham. Our artwork is by Dallas Lopez. This has been Chemistry Editor Adrian Rorick and Physics Editor Matthew Francis. We are XX Science, bringing science to the woman in you.